am chilling on a dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 7th, recorded on October 1st, 2023. Man, Pirate, we are already in October for Halloween festivities and maybe celebrating the dark a little bit, you know. So what you got in mind for Halloween in October?
Hell yeah, man. Pumpkin spice and everything nice, man. I'm just ready for some cool weather here down in FLA.
Yeah, I always look forward to... I always look forward to February myself, because I do know, even though it goes down to the mid 80s, boy, does that feel so good.
Hell, I'm just ready for some 50s or 60s in the evening. I don't care if it stays 80. I just want to get a couple cool evenings, maybe get a little bonfire action going on, you know.
That would be pretty nice, because I don't think we're going to do a Halloween party this year, but that doesn't still stop us from doing a little get together.
Well, there's been a slight update.
Really?
Yeah.
I am shocked.
The planning committee is stating that there's a possibility.
Possibility.
Yeah, due to the time of arrival of the bebe.
Okay, so it might work out. But are you thinking maybe a smaller get-together or a normal pirate party?
I don't know the size yet. I think it could be probably a medium, maybe.
Or whoever shows up, right?
Yeah, probably one of them deals. Which, you know, I'm down for either. I mean, it's okay. Big, small, it's all good to me.
And Halloween is one of those holidays this year that fall on a weird day. I believe it falls on a Tuesday this year. I can look at that up real quick. Yeah, it's a Tuesday, so we might have to do the weekend before, kind of like we had to do with 4th of July.
Yeah, we had to do 4th of July on a Saturday, didn't we? And it was actually like on a Tuesday or something.
Yeah, same kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, for us working folks, we're not going to have a blowout party on a Tuesday night and go back to work the next day all.
No. Well, we did have a blowout party. We were just busy the next day still cleaning up. Yeah.
And but, did you see the Powerball over the weekend?
Oh, you got some Powerball news, huh?
Yeah. Did you play?
No, I don't really play the lottery Powerball that much. My lottery's probably investing in a crypto, sitting on it and see what it does.
Well, yeah, I played a few tickets. Nothing happened, but it rolled over.
Okay.
Yeah, so now it's approximately $1.04
billion. $1.7
billion. Okay. Billion with my
finger. Of course, you can't see this. I'm doing the Dr. Evil thing with $1.7 billion. Well, you know, now and then I do play. So yeah,
the next drawing's October 2nd, which is mañana.
Okay, well, then we'll have to put an investment, invest a couple bucks on that, since that's cheap. We'll see what we can do that. That'd be pretty nice. I'm probably gonna have to leave state if I leave though, but, but yeah, let's get into the meat of the show. A quick shout out though, before we get into it, we're going to do some follow-up news and then we'll get into our normal, topics of discussion here. Want to put out a happy birthday to, my mother, and, you know, because of her, I am here, and she did the majority of the raising. Not that I take anything away from my dad, but in a lot of ways, I am who I am because of my mother. But then, you know, I also took aspects away from my dad too. But she definitely did the raising when I was a kid. So, you know, shout out to my mom and the life I have because of her.
Happy birthday, Mama, from Pirate.
Yeah, or Mrs.
to you.
Yeah, or Mrs.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, Mrs. Ching Wong, as you call her, you know. So
yeah, she's Mrs. Ching in my book.
Yeah, happy birthday to her, right? But yeah, let's get into a little follow up news right now, and then we'll get into our normal topics discussion with little breaks in between, all that stuff. But, yeah, so some follow-up news. The El Paso mayor shipped illegal immigrants to other cities. And what's interesting about that is that he's a Democrat. So he himself is admitting that there is an immigration problem, and he sent 5 chartered buses to New York City, Chicago, and Denver. And he's just making awareness of it, because I do have another subject when it's going to come to dealing with the border crisis that we're having right now. And there's some hope, because we actually got Democrats getting on board with this, and the spirit of cooperation or everything like that. So, you know, that's good news. But I got more to talk about the because another story came up that didn't make mainstream news, like NBC, ABC, CBS didn't cover it. I don't know if Fox covered it, you know, because we're doing this as a hobby. I don't have time to sit there and scour all of these sites. But either way, the coverage is the coverage. And we'll get into this later into the show. And then a story that you had from last week with Fetterman, they were going to allow him to look like a slob in Congress, but they passed a resolution saying that now he has to at least wear pants.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, let's just look, let's look like a senator. Let's look professional when it comes to all this, not looking like you just left the gym and then you're showing up to work. Right.
I know, man. Come know your role, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like The Rock, right? Shut your mouth and know your role.
Yeah. There was a fire alarm going off.
Well, that's not annoying.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like in the
Capitol building.
Yeah, the Cannon Building is the name of it. This happened over the weekend. Progressive Squad leader and Democrat Representative Jamal Bowman, Democrat from New York, apparently he was on video and he got caught pulling the fire alarm.
He pulled the fire alarm. Now, why would he pull the fire alarm?
Well, this is to delay the government shutdown vote.
And oh, so he was trying to delay a vote by evacuating the building.
Yeah, it caused the building to evacuate, and he was caught on the fire alarm, caught pulling the fire alarm.
On video, right?
In the Cannon Building, and this was ahead of the motion to adjourn vote. So Dems were trying to delay the vote on purpose, apparently. So, the Capitol Police were then alerted. They tried to locate him, could not find him. So now an investigation is underway, Chewy.
Oh, well, he claimed that, because I know this story a little bit, he claimed that he thought it was going to open up the door. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I don't buy it, bud.
Well, the problem with his for defense is earlier, before he pulled the fire alarm, the security cameras have him moving the signs that's telling you that it's a fire alarm. And if you pull this, it doesn't open the door or anything. So, What do you think is going to come out of this? Do you think he's going to get prosecuted? Because wasn't he in a way causing a panic by setting off the fire alarm and evacuating the building? I mean, isn't this a very miniature version of January 6th?
Well, they say that, the Republicans are going to try to get the DOJ to work with them to prosecute Bowman. And it is considered a felony anytime you, alert an alarm system, things can happen, people can get hurt. It's a false alarm. The fire department does show up. Who pays for that?
Well, that, and it's causing a panic, and his strategy was to delay a vote. I don't know about you. That sounds pretty childish.
It is. And so Nicole Malliotakis, I can't even pronounce her name. Must be a Greek name. It's all Greek to me. She's a representative from New York. She says, this is the U.S. Congress, not a New York City high school, to pull the fire alarm to disrupt proceedings when we were trying to draft legislations to avert a shutdown of the United States is pathetic, even for a member of the Socialist Progressive Squad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's again, it's petty, it's childish, and, I won't hold any water to him getting in any trouble over this, because it's going to be a hand slap. Yet, even though you have law enforcement there, the Capitol Police are a legitimate law enforcement agency. I just doubt that anything will happen out of this.
Well, we know who's in charge, and I'm sure they're going to say,
Well, here's the thing. The Republican is in charge of right now. Congressman McCarthy, who is the Speaker of the House, is in charge of Congress. So he is a direct, the police chief is a direct report to him. So it's up to him to enforce the security and people who violate it around there. So I'd be interested to see what happens with this.
I still think with Joe being there, I think it's going to be swept under the rug.
Oh, so there's some influence to put a squash on this, is what you're saying.
I'm saying there probably could be, yes. There hasn't been anything done in the last... We'll see what happens. I mean, today and yesterday, nothing was done about it, and it's just going to be swept under the carpet.
Well, they say they're still investigating.
That's what they say.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, like everything, if there's a follow-up item to talk about later, we will, kind of like we did with the opening of the show. Well, and if there's not... Note,
if you do pull an alarm in a federal building, they say you can do up to 3 years in prison.
Really? That's interesting. It'll be interesting if they get the books thrown at them, because they're putting January Sixers trespassers in jail just walking through the place and didn't damage anything for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever it is.
The doors were opened for them.
Yeah, well, that's a whole another subject I was just trying to, whole other topic. I'm just giving an example of if nothing happens out of this, it'll seem pretty hypocritical that you're throwing the book at trespassers and putting them in jail for a long time. And this guy... pretty much, as we know, it's going to turn into equivalent of probably of just a hand slap.
Sure, I'm sure it will. Five, four, three, two, one. And we got liftoff of the new space tug, Chewie.
A space tug? What are we talking about here?
Well, apparently the space station, which has been up there for over three decades or more.
Mm-hmm.
It's requiring time to get decommissioned and out of orbit.
Yeah, they're. I don't know the exact date, but probably here in the next 5 years, they're going to decommission the space station because it has been up there for a while.
Approximately 2028, they're saying they're going to keep it up there for at least seven more years, or at least until 2028.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Japan, Russia, United States,
what's the International Space Station? Everybody helped build the thing.
Yes, and they still have some experiments to continue with, so they're all asking for a little bit more time. So what's going to happen is they're going to put these requests for proposals out, and companies, big name companies, are coming up with the proposals and design concepts for the space tug spacecraft.
And what is this space tug supposed to do?
So apparently it will blast off into the the space, and it will get into orbit, and eventually will dock up with the space station. And then it has the ability to fire up these boosters that will push it out of orbit, the original orbit, and get it into a new orbit that will then eventually see it crash down into the ocean far away from people.
Well, and in a way that makes sense because, knowing a thing or two about NASA, they don't want to dump the whole space station back into Earth orbit at the same time, because the idea is that the Earth's atmosphere will burn it up on reentry. But it makes sense that they're going to do, because the space station is all modules. It took many space shuttle missions and Russia missions to put up modules. So this tug now makes sense because they'll take a piece of it and then with boosters and everything and then dump that in. So then it becomes end up a smaller fire per se. So it doesn't hopefully crash.
I didn't see anything about that, but that would be interesting if they had the ability to take pieces of it apart.
I think that's the way they're going to do it because that's how they built it, because it would make no sense to dump the entire space station back because the thing's huge. The thing's like 3 football fields long. It'd be too much of a fireball if they did that at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. And the chance of it hitting people, like they're saying, they're trying to crash it into the ocean. I mean, it's
well, they put it in the Pacific Ocean because it's way more vast, and they can traject to not have it land on any islands or anything like that.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get updates on this, but apparently there's a deadline for this proposal of sometime here in November. They have a $1 billion price tag that will be attached to it, I'm sure, they said.
$1 billion to destroy the space station.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, And I was reading, I was trying to get a grip around some of the way it was explained, is that the space tug, apparently after it does its duty, it will then, I guess, stay up there, I'm guessing.
Oh, so okay. Well, maybe they're using the tug to just kind of nudge it back into the orbit, or it's already in orbit, but nudge it back into the trajectory where it's going to enter the atmosphere and then, you know, burn up.
That's the part I was trying to understand, and bear with me, folks. You know, some of this NASA stuff is beyond anybody's understanding sometimes. So,
well, I'm a fan, so I know a couple things myself, and yeah, I can interject.
Even most folks, you know, or even listeners, and
most people don't even think about this stuff.
Yeah, this is stuff like way off the spectrum all the time. So,
right.
But it is interesting stuff, and I am intrigued by it, and the fact that they can actually get a ship up there and nudge something and crash it down into the ocean and then pick an exact spot where it's going to land. It's just incredible that these scientists and engineers figured this out. Just like last week, they crashed down the evidence or experimental from the asteroid, the evidence from that asteroid.
Mm.
They took pieces of an asteroid, put it into a spacecraft. I guess it was some type of space probe that went in, had like an arm, grabbed a piece of this space asteroid rock, took it inside, and then they had it come back to Earth and crash into Utah.
Okay, so there are still hopes to recover this asteroid rock so they can examine it.
Oh, they did find the asteroid rock. It landed into a military base somewhere in Utah, probably in a desert somewhere, and
they recovered it.
They recovered. Yeah, the craft was all beat to hell, I'm sure, but the actual evidence was still there. The experimental rock.
Neat. So, very neat.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, there was a lot of scientists that took a lot of planning in this crash. So it's amazing that they can just send this thing light years away and then bring it back to Earth, crash it
right
here in Utah without. Well,
I don't know about light years. Someone might have heard that. They're like, "What are you talking about, light years? We don't have the ability to travel light years."
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's
hundreds of thousands of miles, maybe millions of miles,
millions and millions of miles,
millions of miles. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, this is pirate talk. I mean, come on now, don't take everything serious in the world, people.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got your critics out there, and I'm only saving you because, you know, like I said, I know a thing or two about space and everything like that. And they're like, what are you talking about? Well, light years.
There's always going to be critics. An old pirate ain't afraid of no critics. Criticism's good sometimes. So yeah. That's
well,
good.
Luckily too, I have only gotten some verbal feedback from people. No one has sent any comments or emails yet. But remember, just a little plug here. Remember, you can leave a comment at akabonoradio@gmail.com, and then of course our website's akabonoradio.com. We are on X, Facebook, and just look for all that information out there. Everybody's on something these days, so there's no excuse if you don't know when the show's posted, when it's happening, or anything.
People are on something nowadays, too. There's a lot of people on crack, fentanyl, weed.
Oh yeah, they're on something, hyped right?
Up on a lot of stuff, man.
Okay, that's good. All right, Republican debate. I wasn't going to watch it, but then I decided to since. I thought it was going to conflict with a lightning game, and you told me, "Oh no, you got the wrong nights." And I watched it. I watched about 45 minutes and took some notes. But before we get into the weeds, man, I'm not impressed, man. I thought it was another clown show again. I thought the moderators lost control of the forum, the decorum, whatever you want to call it, and that Univision moderator. To me, all she did was put out a bunch of lefty talking points, which I guess it's okay to have another perspective of it. Sure. But these are Republicans, so maybe that was the challenge of like, I'm a Democrat, let me challenge these Republicans about what they're going to do about X, Y, Z. So what'd you get out of it, Pirate?
Yeah, it definitely was a circus act up there. I mean, I was ready to get popcorn and animal crackers for intermission. It was definitely just blown away. I'm like, this is the best we can get. And I think that debates.
That's what scares me.
And you know what? I when I've seen some of these folks, these individuals speak on individual speeches and meetings and what have you, they do have some great rhetoric. So I don't think all of them have great rhetoric, but I also think that debates, especially nowadays, people are more apt to talk out of order.
Yeah, and that's where I felt they were just all talking over each other, and they completely ignored the rules. And Dana Perino did mention to him, please, you have a minute to respond. If you're called out, we'll give you 30 seconds. But they kept on just wanting blah, 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 blah. She even threatened to cut off the microphone a couple times. And I says, well, maybe you should have cut off the microphone, because one it's kind of like we've talked about before. One person needs to talk so everybody else can listen, and then flip it around.
And then respond.
And then respond. Well,
what happens is someone starts talking and another person wants to talk over to get their angle in.
Right.
And then another guy throws zingers in on his angle.
Well, that was Mr. Vivek again.
Well, all of them were throwing zingers, like Pence was, and then Chris Christie was, and then, you know, Vivek was, and then Haley was thrown back at Vivek. And I mean, there was some stuff going on between Vivek and Haley, Nikki Haley here. I mean,
she was getting frustrated with him.
Oh yeah, they had a big time dispute here. The thing is she was calling him like a communist for working with the CCP, and
yeah, I saw that. I mean, because I don't know too much about Vivek.
Big time. I mean, she says, oh, you know, you're in with the medicine people in China, and you know, you've got a book out there. I've read it, and you know,
China.
Yeah, China.
Well, that's how Donald Trump calls him, China.
Yeah, and it's just. It's just these debates, I don't ever think they work out. Even I remember back when the last Republican debates years before when Donald Trump was running in 2016, and I just seen that it was never under control. There was always just zingers and out of control talking and just quick points of you know, promises and things that never really come to light. I mean, they say all these quick promises, you know, we're going to fight, you know, like Ron DeSantis, we're going to fight the Mexican cartel, and Vivek, we're going
to. Well, he mentioned that he would send the military to go attack the cartel.
Yeah, well, that has to have Senate and Congress approval. I mean, you can't just send anybody in. I mean, he could go above and beyond and just sign an executive order.
Yeah. Well, one thing that stood out to me, and it's kind of a follow-up, and that's why I didn't put it up in the follow-up. Tim Scott said the federal government gave $80 million for pensions to the auto workers. And I found that interesting because they're on strike now because they don't feel like they're being paid enough. And didn't GM alone during the Obama days get a $55 billion bailout? So all this money that the taxpayers are going to these corporations, to the unions, and I'm being told it's not enough. And at the same time, I'm saying to myself, why is the federal government bailing out again the automakers? Because I looked into this, the foreign automakers who do make cars in this country, Nissan, Toyota, whatever, Honda, they have not been on the take at all. So I'm seeing a lot of misspending. I'm seeing a lot of irresponsibility. And then the sympathy strings are pulled on. Well, if these people lose their job, what are they going to do? And I'm like, well, that's not my problem, because they are working. They're taking the risk working for somebody else. This is how it goes. When you work for somebody else, you're going to go by their standards. But their standards is that they don't have any. They're only alive right now. They're only functioning as a company because the government keeps bailing out. And when do you say enough? When does it get cut off?
Yeah, you got a great point. I mean, when does it get cut off? Well, like I said in many shows before, the best thing that these car manufacturers in the United States could do is get the government out of their pockets.
Well, it's like a carrot though. It keeps getting dangled in front of them.
And you know, with the policies that the government forces them to stand by, as far as getting fuel efficiency, electrical EV vehicles,
all these regulations, the CAFE standards.
Yeah, you got to put cameras on the back of the vehicle. You got to have all these sensors, and some of them are great ideas.
And Haley said this. She said, Joe created this strike with regulations and EVs that are subsidized, and those are facts.
Yes.
The EV cars, if you go buy a Tesla, you immediately get $7,500 off your ticket. Well, you're not really getting you are getting $7,500 off your ticket, but it's the federal government that gives Tesla the $7,500 to say, oh, it's a federal deduction. Well, those federal deductions are still coming from taxes or printing more money.
Yeah, they're printing more money to do all this. And if they decide to give these auto workers these benefits, I mean, it's just going to be another major increase in costs.
Well, and especially the big three, they still operate in union states. And I don't have a problem with unions per se, because unions protect the employees. But now I feel like unions dictate the corporations. And not only are they full of crap because they turned down a 21% raise, I think the corporations are full of crap, saying that's too much money to pay these people, over, even though they've got multiple bailouts now that's been proven. But at the same time, the government is telling them with all these regulations, you got to do X, Y, Z, just increasing the cost of the cars, increasing everything that needs to get done. And how does this make this better? I'm failing to see all this.
No, it doesn't make anything better. And I'm sure when Henry Ford first started his business, It was like a small business. He did what he needed to do.
Do you know he tried out electrical cars back in the day, but he even knew 120 years ago it wouldn't be sustainable?
No.
Yeah, he actually gave a shot at electric cars instead of using combustion engines, but the battery technology wasn't there. Granted, the battery technology is better now, but guess what? The infrastructure still can't support it. Most of these charging stations are broken.
Well, the infrastructure for the electrical system here is probably as old as 1930s in some areas.
Well, and like Toyota put out a study, is our infrastructure right now cannot handle EVs. Even Toyota put out that this is not going to work. They said probably hybrids are the option, and they were one of the first to mass market a hybrid. I'm not a fan of the Prius, but if you're looking for a no-nonsense commuter car that's going to save you a lot of gas, hey, go with the Prius. I looked up the Toyota Venza the other day, which is more of a, like a station wagon SUV kind of thing. I'm actually somewhat interested in this car because I'm thinking of looking at a truck next time or something like that. But 500 miles off of a gallon, little four banger engine in it. I don't care. It's just a commuter. I'm not out here racing the damn thing, you know, just to get around town. I think that'd be awesome
for a commuter. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were other points that were made in this debate. One of the big things is all of the debatees had made big talks of the southern border crossings and the illegal crossings.
Yes.
Talked about drug trafficking and finishing the wall. You know, they were talking about Chris Christie said, you know, he says, well, what I'm talking about the southern border is if you come here illegally, we will apprehend you. You know, Nikki Haley said that border agents aren't allowed to do their job. And she says only when we fix the border and the immigration system, you know, we'll have a safe United States, a safe border. DeSantis, you know, he was talking about getting the military involved with the drug cartels to stop the flow of drugs and fentanyl into the U.S. Mm-hmm. Vivek said he would put the military on the southern border and end birthright citizenships for immigrants.
Yes, he wanted to end that.
Yeah, that sounds like that was probably good when we needed more immigrants into this country, but now that we have such an influx, do we still need to have birthright?
I don't think so.
No.
Because here's the other flip side of things that people don't talk about. Okay. All these families that do come across the border. Well, because of the federal law, they are a local school, which is, you know, still a government-run school, even though it's local, whether it's town, county, or state, because of this federal law, they are forced to still take these kids in. So who still, and it's paid for, they say it's paid for, but it's really not paid for. And there's already a teacher shortage. So they get overwhelmed with these classrooms full of kids who don't even know how to speak English. Don't get me wrong. These kids will eventually speak English. But to me, it just invites more challenges that you really don't need, because in a lot of ways it's self-inflicting, because you're not enforcing the border laws. You're telling us that there is no border crisis when there obviously is one. And like I said, I've got another subject for it. It's similar to this, but I'll get into the meat and potatoes of that with my opinion on it. It just, when they weren't talking over each other, they did have a couple, good points that they put out there. So if you can get through the noise, if you can filter through it, okay, I got a lot of it. But for the most part, man, I just felt like it was a bunch of crap.
Yeah, there was a lot of zingers and a lot of promises. All of the debatees did have some good points. I mean, not anybody had any crazy, far out, crazy ideas. Everybody had a good idea. I didn't see anybody.
But see, here's where I slam on Pence, though, because he was asked the question about when you had a Republican majority in Congress and Senate, why didn't you end Obamacare if you disagree with it? And he answered with mass gun shooting. Yes. And Dana Perino even said you didn't answer the question, or pretty much you didn't ask for a question, because believe it or not, Obamacare is more popular than ever. And the idea was to give people who don't have insurance an affordable option. However, healthcare in itself is more expensive than ever. And Nikki Haley pointed out that the charges need to be more transparent, because I guess everything is still, in this day and age, everything is still not being disclosed. Or they'll give you a pill and they says you have to take it anyways. And if the patient refuses to, they said you might as well take it because you're already getting charged for it. Like, they don't even give the patient the option to refuse it and not get charged for it. You're still going to get charged because it's in one of those little cup and containers. You think they're going to take that and put that back in the bottle?
No,
they're going to throw it out. So the nurse or whoever administers the medicine, the doctor, whoever, will still put it on their charge sheet whether the person took it or not. I was like, that's not right.
No, and what Pence said is, he started to talk about the mass shootings, and that's when Dana Perino came out and said, is Obama here? She says, so is Obamacare here to stay? And then he comes back, my intention is to make government smaller.
Well, he didn't prove any of that.
And then he said, all Obamacare goes back to the states. He wants to take all of Obamacare and give it back to the states to handle.
He basically gave a big non-answer.
Yeah, it's just. That's how he answers things, and he always...
Typical politician.
Pence always rolls back on what he did before on every question.
Well, he sounds like, to me, the typical... he had the opportunity to change and end things, and he didn't. And a lot of that goes to Trump, too, because if Obamacare was such a bad idea, if it's not constitutional, blah, 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 even though the Supreme Court said it is. Because the thing about people don't understand with the federal government is that they think once a ruling happens, that's it. It's over with. No, it's not. It can always be changed because the federal government's a circle. What's stopping another body from later on from changing that? It's kind of like with the whole abortion thing. And I don't want to get into abortion. I just want to talk the technicalities of it. That 50 years ago, the Supreme Court says, yes, abortion is legal in all states, and we now need to allow it happen. Well, go back to just a year ago, when that same body of people, even though it was different people, ruled that it is not constitutional and it's not part of the federal government. So that's where you have to be careful about what you support, because nothing is set in stone. And that's the way the Constitution was framed, that the beauty of the Constitution, the beauty of how the federal government is supposed to be run, and it does to a certain degree still, is that it can always be changed, whether you agree with it or not, but nothing is supposed to be set in stone. You know, this ain't the commandments here where that's it. This is what you have to do.
Yeah, there's no Ten Commandments to that. Well, the whole debate you know, it had several good questions asked, and of course, a lot of these guys didn't even get the answer in whole.
Yeah, no, they didn't get that. So they didn't get really the answer.
Like wanting, and I got little tidbits of information. You know, like,
well, you had to filter through the freaking yelling and the noise and everything. And
I don't know how many more of these they're going to have.
Ended it after 45 minutes. I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Clowns.
And I sure hope maybe when we get it whittled down to like 3 or 4 people, maybe it'll get better. But it really, at this point, there's so many people on stage. It's just, it's out of control. I have other notes, but none of them are really that good. All of it was just little tidbits, but one of the things that stood out is we had, what is Chris Christie saying? Mm-hmm. But what he said in the debate, and he said, I want to look at the camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight, not because of the polls, not because of the indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on stage and defending your record. And you're ducking these things. And he says, let me tell you what's going to happen when you keep doing that. No one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
Yeah, so stupid. I saw that.
I couldn't believe
it. I saw that part. But
and that's the tidbits and zingers that all we heard.
Zingers.
All of them were doing little zingers like that at each other or trying to just, you know.
But let me ask you this though, because I'm on both sides of the fence with this. Should Donald Trump been there?
You know, I'm halfway up the fence, and my deals are right over the mid-side pole here, and I'm just like hanging on a chain link fence, you know, and I'm just like thinking, well, did Donald Trump's handlers say, hey, you don't need to defend yourself, you don't need the added publicity to any negative publicity, or you don't need to bring out any more remembrances of what happened in the 2020 election. Let's just keep everything going because you're in the polls now. You're leading. Let's not make this worse than it is.
Well, part of me thinks he should be there, but based on how the last two debates went, I think it would have made it worse as far as the clown show going. And the part of me that says he shouldn't be there is because he's leading so far in the polls right now that none of these people who say, well, we want to be president are even remotely coming close to him right now.
Well, I think if it was up to Donald, he probably would be there. But I think it's his handlers that know better, that they know it's going to be a shit show. They know that it's going to be crazy and everyone over talking. Because if Donald's there, I mean, he's center stage, of course. Everyone's going to want to ask him questions. Everyone's going to want to zinger him. Everyone's going to want to, you know, just make it. And he would take all of the limelight from all of the other states.
He would. Maybe in a way it's a good thing that these people are trying to filter out each other and trying to get to it, because even though it's, again, not a sure thing, one of these people are actually applying to be his VP candidate, not president, because unless the polls change, Donald J. Trump, like him or hate him, is going to be the Republican candidate, the Republican nominee, even with all these pending indictments that are coming here.
Yeah, I don't know the rules when he can sign the Republican pledge to join again, but
he's already part of it. It's a matter of when the primary start, and it always starts traditionally in Iowa. And once the voting starts, and that's where you pick your candidate. And right now, according to the polls, he's going to landslide every single one of those people up there.
Yeah, I know he's leading the polls. And, you know, like they said that right now in the debates so far, DeSantis is coming out ahead of everybody.
And out of everybody that was up there, Ron DeSantis, to me, was the most calmest and didn't do the name calling, and he disrupted a little bit, but more down earth, you know. Just
his handlers must have told him tone it down a little bit this
because everybody else was up there fighting. I mean, Vivek and Tim Scott, oh my god, they got into it. I'm like, oh my, I mean, you know, he said something stupid like, thank you for interrupting me when I'm interrupting you. What the hell is that supposed to mean? So it's okay if I'm rude, but if you're being rude to me, you're being rude and you're getting called out on that. It's like, get out of here, man.
That was kind of arrogant of him to talk like that.
Arrogant and childish.
Childish as well. And Vivek was the same way, just kind of arrogant about how he had thrown his zingers out there.
Yeah, Mr. Zinger.
Yeah. And you know, look at the other half. If Trump did attend and his handler said, well, you can go attend, just be careful, hold your tongue, bite your tongue, be careful what you say, be careful what you do, be careful how you hold yourself, because you're going to be back into the limelight again and all of the U.S. is watching. Anything could have happened there on the stage.
I think if Trump was there, though, I think he should have been there, I think it would have been worse.
Yeah, he would have to really bite his tongue because, you know,
he's not going to bite his tongue, no.
Mouth off right away.
I mean, it was already a fucking clown show to start with. And if he was there, man, he would start with his name callings. Yes. And then he would bring up, I'm so far of you in the polls, you know, blah, 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 blah.
That
you know,
get everybody fired up.
Oh, yeah. He'll start calling them little names, yes. You know. No.
And that would be all over the news.
You know, Engine Vivek and Little Ron.
The journalist would take all of that and run wild.
And the thing is the media, I think he's being smart by not being there, because if he was there, that's what it would do. And the media would love it. The next day, it would be like Donald J. Trump called people a bunch of names.
And then that would bring him down in the polls, because remember.
I think it would, because it would make him look childish. I mean, the name calling is childish. I mean, you know, whether you agree with that or not, it to me, it's childish. You're a 77-78-year-old man calling people names like that. I mean, but you know what? It worked in the 2015-2016 primaries. You know, he did beat 16 established Republicans, and not just by the name calling, just he was basically saying, all these people here are politicians. I'm a businessman. Is this working over here? No. Vote for me. Hey, it worked, at least for 4 years.
Well, and another thing I take from the debate is this really what's going to make me decide who becomes president? Not really.
But it's a good idea. It's an indicator.
I mean, is this how those guys really act when they're doing business? Or Probably not.
God, I hope not.
I think debates get, if me and you were in a debate with some other people right now, we would both be fired up talking to them, you know. We'd be saying stuff that would be, you know, on the edge and getting other people fired up. And I think, you know, on the norm, we're not always, like, on the edge when we're talking. We're just talking normal. We're not, like, pushing each other over the edge, or we're not throwing insults or zingers. And you're trying to make yourself look better than everybody up there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think adrenaline kicks in. You say some things to kind of make your verbiage sound better than the next guy.
Well, you're trying to stand out.
Yes, you're trying to throw in whatever vocabulary words that are going to draw attention, whatever statements are going to bring attention, you know, different scenarios and different things that you may have done that are going to bring attention. And I think what happens is the average people that don't see these government debatees out in public or on regular news or read about them on a normal, they're going to see them at this debate and go, oh, well, look what he said or look what he did, and they're going to run with it. But that's not how some of these people act on the norm, I don't think.
At least I hope not. So no. To be continued, as always. You got any other anything to throw in with this subject before we move on?
No, we'll give an update when there's another debate coming up, and I'm sure we'll follow it again. And hopefully the next one is not a...
God, I'm going to have to start circus. A drinking game or something if I watch another debate, but we'll see what happens. Miss Zimbabwe. So, Pirate, have you heard about this story at all, or am I springing a fresh one on you, something that you have no awareness of?
This is a new one to me. I didn't know they had a
Miss. This is a new one. Well, this is
Zimbabwe at all.
Yes. Well, you know, because the countries prop out their beautiful women and send them eventually on to Miss Universe. Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up, she's a white woman.
No shit.
In an African country.
Well.
And guess what? The internet had its normal meltdown reaction. The internet lost their mind because this is a predominantly black country and a blonde hair woman won the contest. Here's the thing. Born and raised in Zimbabwe. So to me, I thought the color of your skin didn't matter.
Apparently it's over there. It does, because, you know, over here when we have the Miss America, we have all types of melting pot, you know, Miss Americas. We have white. We have, you know, we've had Japanese girls before.
Yeah, we're the melting pot. So what's the
black girls? We have Puerto Rican girls, Mexican girls in there.
And obviously, the judging of a pageant isn't just based on looks alone. They do Q&A. They ask you how you would react to different situations. Of course, they put them in different various dresses of clothes. So
these journalists probably just have no clue that.
Well, it's not just journalists; it's just
the internet. It's people just that just have no clue. People.
But the yeah, her name is Brooke Jackson, and while she doesn't look the part, she is now the representative of Zimbabwe this year's Miss Universe competition. She's beautiful, and so are all the other candidates. But we really got the internet upset is the fact that she's white, because apparently you can't be white and win in Zimbabwe. And one of the action here is Mowgli, which was Indian, idiot, so it doesn't even deal with that, would be so mad. Another one was, you know, for me, it's the fact that white people are not even embarrassed or ashamed to be doing all these things. Honestly, I'm not condemning her. I'm just a bit surprised. Had to research and notice that the country is a nation of immigrants. So it's just, you know, hilarious to me. And
you got a picture of her too?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to show you a picture of her. So yeah, it's kind of funny how when you put the shoe on the other foot, all of a sudden it's a problem. Because one of the comments that was in a sarcastic comedy way was, well, she's a minority in that country. Wouldn't you see this as a win for the minority?
Yeah, and wasn't this the first pageant that they had in over 16 years or so, over 20 years?
Not sure about that. I didn't look into that.
It might be stating something about that. But I think it was their first pageant. But even if it was
right here, yeah, first pageant in over 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
20 years.
And you know, I mean, so what? White or black? Who
cares? The 21-year-old beauty therapist was born there in the capital and still lives and works there as in an aesthetic clinic. And so what's the problem? She is a native of Zimbabwe. She identifies as Zimbabwe. It's just because she's not the typical black skin. And you know, newsflash, not everybody in Africa are black. The northerners are more Arabian, Moroccos, Libyans, Assyrians, the Egyptians. You go to the south because the Dutch took over years ago. It's not predominantly white, but they have a lot of white people down there.
Well, there's English folks down there, too, like yeah, in South Africa. And
yeah,
and, I think we have a close friend that has said he has some family over there in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And he's somewhat English.
Yeah, so good for her for winning this pageant.
With her winning, I think the critics need to just let her be the winner.
Well, she's a minority there, so why would you slam on a minority? I thought we're all about propping up the minority.
I thought that as well. I mean, I thought minorities were the way to go.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to be woke, let's be woke.
Apparently, these people are not woke up all the way, I guess.
Well, they're not. Well, when you deal with people who don't have any principles, don't have any standards, this is what happens. It starts to go all over the map. So
yeah.
I just thought I'd add in a funny story, but a little political commentary on top of that, because you people who want to purposely keep dividing us, Good job at it, because you didn't like the results of a white woman happening to win in the Zimbabwe pageant. I found that pretty hilarious.
This is the Pirate and Chewy Sports Update. Welcome, everybody, and this is the Pirate and Chewy Sports Update. And this week in sports in the American League, we got the Orioles. They won 101 games and 60 losses. Rays, 98 games won, 63 losses. And in the AL, the Orioles and Twins clinched the division. We got the Rays, Blue Jays, Rangers, and Astros heading to the wild card. And
yeah, Rays have to be in the wild card, unfortunately, because they didn't take the they didn't take their division or their conference.
Yeah, they got the wild card, so they will probably be playing one of these teams here: Blue Jays, Rangers, or Astros. Today, the Rays are playing the Blue Jays, and at this time and speaking, there it is: the Rays up 9-3 against the Blue Jays, in which they most likely will win by the time we end this game. So the National League got the Braves, 104 wins, 57 losses. Dodgers, 94 wins, 62 losses. The Braves, the Brewers, and the Dodgers clinched their divisions. Phillies, Marlins, and Diamondbacks are in the wild card.
Nice. And I'll throw in a little college here because I will keep you up to date on USF and WVU. USF took on Navy in the away game yesterday, and they end up coming out with a win 44-30. And this is their first win in a conference game away in 4 years. So this new coach, Coach Golish, man, I'm starting to see some good things happening here. I'm not ready to be like, oh yeah, man, they're gonna get ranked. They're not nowhere near that. But even the commentators on the game yesterday said the way they've been noticing things is that this can make them into a competitive team again if this coach keeps going the way he's going.
Well, let's see if it sticks, you know?
Yeah. And then the West Virginia Mountaineers took on TCU yesterday. Very tight game, but they end up getting a victory 24-21.
Oh, another one for them, huh?
Yeah. Both of my college teams I follow are on a roll.
Well, last Sunday, we had a very large upset game here. We had the Miami Dolphins had a victory over the Broncos, 70-20.
Yeah, I thought there was a typo at first when I saw that. I'm like, what?
That was incredible. That was the second highest scoring game in history.
Really?
Yeah, the one before that was the Washington Redskins against the New York Giants, and it was like 75, I don't know exactly, score 75. Something. It was a few more points to like 18 or something like that. But yeah, that was amazing that the Dolphins pulled that off. And with that, the Dolphins have 3 wins.
Yeah.
Zero losses.
Well, even the Dolphins, which I'm a fan of, they're my AFC team. I've been keeping an eye on this stuff. I'm like, man, they're doing good. The Bucks just won at the time of this recording, of course. But
yeah, last Monday, we had Monday Night Football. And the Bucks,
they faltered.
They had the Eagles, and the Eagles really had their shit together. And you know, the Bucks tried their best. They tried to hold them down. There were a lot of plays that they just tried, but things just didn't come together. There were a lot of throws and passes that were thrown over the receivers
to mistakes.
Just a lot of mistakes in throwing. But they did hold on. I mean, they did keep them down for a while, but after the end of the game, it was 25 Eagles, Bucks 11.
Yeah. Well, they dominated today. They just beat the Saints 26-9. So now they are 3-1, and they're first in the NFC South. So yeah. Yay for the Bucks.
Yeah. And Baker did well. He had 25 out of 32 completions, and he ran actually 6 times with the ball.
Nice.
That's pretty good for a little quarterback there, huh?
Oh yeah, man. So nice to see our teams winning. Nice to see them on a roll. It feels good to feel good for a change when it comes to some of our local sports, or maybe a team you happen to root for. Like my away team is the West Virginia Mountaineers. So I'm seeing all good things here.
Yeah. So. This upcoming week is a bye week for the Buccaneers.
Okay.
It's pretty early in the season, but I'm sure they could use that little week to, you know, get some.
Yeah, well, that's rest. part of the schedule. You get a bye week, you get a week off.
Yeah, and the next game after that is October 15th, Lions versus Bucks at 1 p.m.
And do you know what that game is, Pirate?
That is the creamsicle game.
Yes, it's going to be the throwback game. So I will be out of town that weekend for the game, but hopefully they they air it. I'll be in West Virginia that weekend. So FYI, there won't be a podcast that Sunday, unfortunately. But we'll have more to talk about when we get back.
Yeah, I actually have a lot going on that weekend as well. So that works out well for everybody. And you guys can just listen to repeats of the show if you're jonesing for a little Pirate and Chewy.
Exactly.
So NHL, Lightning preseason's going on. We got yesterday, we had the Lightning playing the Predators, Nashville, 5-4. That was a good win, huh, Chewy?
Yes, I actually was able to watch the game. Unfortunately, I had to streamcast it, which is basically using a pirate network. But because of corporate greed and corporations and monopolies, they are still under the Bally network. And unless you purchase Spectrum, which I refuse to, or purchase their app, which I heard is crap, you're not going to be able to watch them legitimately. But thanks to the internet, there are other ways to get around it. Is it perfect? No. But I tell you what, it worked out in my favor watching this game, because the broadcasting was Dave Mishkin on 103.5 The Bone here in local in Tampa. So I love hearing Dave on the radio when he's coming, because I love Dave. And then, and Phil Esposito, of course, the founder of the Lightning, the man responsible for bringing hockey to Tampa area. But I love Mishkin's energy, and listening to him on the radio, you feel like you're there because he's so good at his play-by-play.
Very energetic, man.
So it was able to combine the TV and his commentary on this pirate network I pulled up. I'm like, hey, this is a win right here, because it's kind of hard to do this now in these with internet TV and all that stuff. Because back in the day when it was over the air, I remember I would turn down the volume on the TV, turn on the radio, either listen to Gene Deckerhoff with the Bucks or listen to Dave Mishkin. Well, now, because there's delays and slowness, you can kind of time it up, but it's too tedious. I've tried it a few times, and it just eventually gets out of sync. You got to remember to pause,
it's not worth it. That started to happen. I used to love playing Gene Deckerhoff while I was watching the Bucks, because,
he was a better commentator.
I don't like the national commentators. They're just dry, and they don't have any loyalty to your team, so they're not going to really get any good points or angles on your team, and it's just, he is so energetic. He has a lot of side notes. He's got a lot of information that you will learn about the players along the way, and he is just very energetic, and I like at the end of the game, Bucks win, Bucks win.
Yeah, so no, this has been a good weekend of sports for our local teams. Go Rays.
Well, let me finish up the NHL, Chewy. The next game's Tuesday, October 3rd, Lightning versus the Panthers, Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers, in a little in-state rivalry.
Yeah, and so far with preseason, the Lightning are 2-2.
Okay, not bad. It's only preseason, no big deal.
Yeah, and October 10th is the first game against Predators at 5:30 p.m.
Ah, cool.
And I've got one more segment in sports, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
NASCAR.
All right. This is more your wheelhouse.
Yes. Today was the Talladega Super Speedway.
That's the big track, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one there. And, they were racing today, and we have leaders so far in the season. Racer William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Chris Buescher, Christopher Bell, and Martin Truex Jr. are the top leaders. And we have one more race, October 8th, at the Bank of America 400 in Charlotte Speedway. That's in North Carolina. And then we have the three races of playoffs. And those playoffs are in various cities. And what they do is those top guys in the standings will race for more points, and then they get the top position to race in the final last race, which is the final cup race, which is November 4th in Phoenix.
Nice.
And whoever has the most points, regardless, he's the winner of the season.
Do you like this new format with these points, or do you like the old style better?
It is a little different. I've seen it in some seasons where it is exciting because you get a guy that comes from the behind and comes up the way with several wins, and it is exciting because he worked his way up. But then there's some guys the whole season, they're just up there in points, and it's kind of boring, and no one works for any wins. And I kind of like the old way a little better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It just, mm-hmm. it seemed like, you know.
Yeah, even being a very part-time fan, I think I like the old format better. But at the same time, I don't pay attention enough to it to really just be like, oh, yeah, man, they need to change this up. They need to do this. And I you know, don't have an
NASCAR
opinion of that.
NASCAR has changed over the years, and it's definitely a lot different sport than what it was like when I watched it from when I was a kid. So
yeah, well, anything, sports do change to a degree. Baseball changes, football changes, hockey changes.
A lot of their rules, the equipment, the whole
nothing set in stone. Kind of like earlier with our government, it's not set
nothing
in stone.
Is set in stone. And but anyways, you know, we'll keep an eye on these games. Keep an eye on you know, the NASCAR, and we'll see how these seasons end up, and then pretty soon it'll just be NHL for the rest of the season and a little bit of football.
Yeah, yep. So we'll keep you updated on those teams as well. A Korean War veteran, 95 years old, was allegedly kicked out of his halfway home in New York City to house illegal immigrants. What do you think about this, Pirate?
That's terrible. I mean, why? Why does he have to leave his home? Why don't they find their own home?
Well, they say it's not his home, you know, because he's in a halfway home and he's poor and he doesn't have a place to stay. So the door swings both way kind of things. What I guess where I get fired up by this is that he's an American citizen. He's a war veteran. Why is he getting kicked out of his house to house illegals who are not even supposed to be there?
Well, he served his country, and what have they done for this country except for cross illegally?
Yeah, they said he was given less than 2 months' notice to figure out where and where he was going to live after his nursing home. So it was a nursing home he resided in was sold to become a facility for, of course, this article's already being PC, undocumented migrants. I'm going to go ahead and say illegal immigrants. Veteran Frank Tamara joined Representative Nicole Miliotakis, speaking of Greeks, a vocal critic of New York's handling of the migrant crisis, at a press conference this last Monday to report the
deal. What was her name again?
It is Nicole Miliotakis.
That's what I said last time.
Yeah, okay. Well,
she's a congress.
She's been, no, she's
senator?
A veteran representative, so she's a congressman.
Yeah, I got the Greek name. Okay.
So she said, I quote, "I think I'm annoyed about how they did it. It was very disgraceful what they did to the people in the island shores," end quote. Tamara said, referring to the assisted living facility he was leaving in. Quote, "Then one day there was a notice on the board. I think they gave us a month and a half to find out where we're going to go. I thought my suitcase were going to be in the curb because I'm not that fast," end quote. And he said, "If it wasn't for my daughter, they would be on the curb." And that, he said, was a big no-no. So it wasn't even a halfway home. He was in a nursing home. Earlier this week, the border patrol had 11,000 encounters with illegals just in a 24-hour period, which they described as the single highest day in recent memory. Border migrant crossing topped 2.76 million people last year alone, setting a new record and breaking the prior record set to that with over $1 million. So what happened to, first of all, you're kicking out an American out of his nursing home because you sold it to somebody else. I thought there was no border crisis because 2.76 million people just last year alone. We haven't even gotten this number this year yet. That's not a border crisis. That's not an invasion.
Well, it's definitely an invasion, Chewy, and it's definitely the other side of the government just sweeping this under the carpet to make it look like you know, it's not a big deal. We need to find a place for these people to live and. You know, regardless of who's already here, we're going to make these people a priority. And whether we're going to put them in some 5-star hotel and disrupt the business district, or we're going to put them in a veterans nursing home and disrupt those folks' lives that serve the country, we're not going to pay no attention here. We're just going to sweep this under carpet. Oh, just move these people in.
Well, it's finally getting traction now because, first of all, there was a lot of denial. Okay.
That's the denial, sweeping under the carpet.
Especially with the big blue cities. We're talking Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, New York City. And especially with what I want to call your classic liberal, okay? They didn't think that was a big deal. Until until, just like earlier, just like we've been knowing, Texas, Florida, mainly Texas, has been sending illegal immigrants to go reside in these other cities. And what I find ironic about it is that now they're saying no more, no more. Like the mayor of Boston declared a state of emergency in the city of Boston because of the immigrant crisis. Well, why are you declaring a state of emergency if there isn't no immigrant crisis? Well, because they know there's an immigrant crisis. And you know what it was? Is that when it was away from them, they were like, well, just let them in, okay? Well, now that the problem has been somewhat, even just to a small degree, dropped off on their doorsteps, now they want to talk about it. Now they want to be, you know, now they want to say, okay, well, we can't really do this. This is not sustainable. And remember what happened to Martha's Vineyard? You know, posh neighborhood in the Massachusetts area?
Yes.
As soon as immigrants ended up there, all of a sudden, it was like, man, this is a.
It wasn't swept under the carpet then, was it?
Right. And then the argument is, well, they just want jobs. Okay, well, there is a process for it. You can get a green card. You can get a working visa. You don't just sneak into the country and then expect people to work for you, because a lot of employers aren't willing to hire someone who, like they call it, undocumented. Well, you can't prove who you are. You don't have a Social Security card. So how am I supposed to legally pay you, because you can't be employed? You can't give me any references. There's not like I can call up somebody. So what kind of work are they seeking? You know, and don't get me wrong. There are some hardworking people, but the fact that they came here illegally, it makes it even harder. And here's the thing: they're just getting brought in. No COVID tests, none of that. When there was a time you had to take a COVID test to even get on a stupid cruise ship. But they're not doing any COVID tests, which is supposed to be this new variant out there. What happened to this? Because I looked this up. During the Ellis Island days, when our forefathers came through here, they had to take tuberculosis tests and take chest x-rays and get tested for many of other things to make sure you're not bringing in outside crap. And they couldn't already have a job lined up for them because there was laws put in place saying that you cannot take away a job from an American. Think about that. Back in the day, they already said, you cannot come into this country if you already have a job lined up. They won't even let you in. And now they're flooding the workforce and the schools, and the money and the resources aren't just there. And thank God for people like Elon Musk, who went to the border and filmed it and put it on Twitter, because liberals denied that there was a problem. Now they're not denying it because now they know it's real. And the thing is about Elon Musk, love him or hate him, is that wherever he goes, the press will follow him. And they can't ignore this even anymore. Even CNN was like, wow, this is a real problem. I'm like, well, why are all of a sudden, because Elon's here reporting this, why didn't you report this before? Because they were either paid off or had an agenda to try to make Donald Trump look bad. Well, the guy who's looking bad right now on the border is Biden. And Greg Gutfeld actually said the real president is Elon Musk, because whatever he talks, whatever he does, it seems like the world, the country follows what he's doing, man. I mean, pretty amazing.
Maybe one day he'll run for president.
Yeah.
The one thing I have to say about this whole situation is, and this is pirates, you know, far crazy thinking here, but, you know, we got all these folks coming, just like the one, what was it, the governor of or mayor of El Paso,
Texas.
You know, instead of sending them, I know you're trying to make a point. Yeah, let's send them up to the northern.
It's a political stunt.
Let's send them up to the northern cities. How about this? If it was pirate and I was the mayor of El Paso, I'd say, you know what? I'm done sending them to up north because nothing really happened.
Why don't you send them right back over the border?
I'm going to send them son of a bitches back to the border. I'm going to make sure they get across the border, and they're going back to Mexico. Let Mexico deal with them. They're not our problem.
And it's so funny you mention that, because I heard Mexico's got pretty strict policies of sending people back. Like, they enforce their borders.
Why don't we?
Yeah, boom.
And you know what? Why aren't our ambassadors and foreign leaders that we talk with over there, why aren't we talking with these countries and saying, hey, we're tired of your people coming over here, you know, flooding our borders, not following our rules and laws. Why don't you have some type of work programs you develop? Do we need to send people to your country to teach you how to get work programs, to teach you how to do civil programs or something to teach these people, get them an education, something other than what we're doing here. Well,
their kids are getting free education, even though they probably don't speak much English. They'll eventually learn, but think about the holdbacks and challenges they have to go through. Even for the teacher, how do you teach a person that doesn't speak the common language that you know how to speak? You know,
very difficult. And a lot of times they just don't want to assimilate. I mean, I've run into people that have lived here that have spoke Spanish all their life, and they've been here already 10, 15 years.
They still don't know how to speak English.
They don't know too much English at all.
Wow, that's sad. And I mean, it's okay to hold on to your heritage and your culture. If you continue to know how to speak Spanish, of course, that's fine. But when you're out and about in public, or you get to meet somebody, I mean, most of the people in this country speak English.
Well, and we've made it over the years so easy. I understand there's people that live here that speak Spanish, but English is the first language of the world, just about. And, you know, the thing is when you got to press 2 for English and 1 for Spanish or what have you.
Right. That feels off.
That's just enabling.
Priorities are off.
That's just enabling folks. And that's just making it easy on folks. And I'm not saying, you know, be mean to people or whatever. I'm just saying, make people be a little bit accountable for being here. If they're here, let them work for it.
Well, the politicians who deny or allow this kind of behavior come in here and, do whatever you want to do. They're responsible for this as well.
Sure they are.
Yeah.
They're not putting the effort to, enact programs to make sure that they receive the proper, onboarding when they come to this country.
Mm-hmm.
When these folks come here,
I don't think they're interested in doing that though. They want to keep it chaotic. They want to, just keep people pitted against each other, whatever you want to talk about. Because, I'm just truly trying to feel this is truly by design. Now, this isn't just somebody is a moron politician and they don't know what they're talking about. I'm pretty sure they do know what they talk about. This
is to create chaos and
there you go.
Keep everybody distracted. This is smoke and mirrors to keep everybody out of the know, and it's kept people divided for sure. And it. A lot of people that are listening now are, I'm sure there is a portion of you all that are concerned about the safety of this country at the borders, the amount of drugs, the amount of human trafficking, the amount of guns being smuggled in, the amount of terrorists that are coming over the border, the amount of Chinese spies that are coming in to spy at military bases and spy the way our country's infrastructure is set up. This is all things that now come into play because we have open borders, and we at one point we really have to stop kicking the can down the road on this immigration and border thing.
We have to stop kicking the can down on the road on everything.
Yes, the can.
The spending $33 trillion in debt, and we're still being told that it's not enough.
Yes.
When is enough? Is enough?
It's way overboard, and the can needs to be crushed, and we need to just
stop it. Kicking that can.
Stop kicking it, and the game's over with. We need to just set some new rules here and get things back to boundaries again, way it used to be.
Yeah,
We're living in a fantasy world right now with the way.
Well, we're living in a fantasy world if they think this is a positive steps. If this is gonna benefit everybody in some kind of weird general way or another, and people are pissed off right now, and I get it. I'm not pissed off. I'm just concerned with the way things are going in this country right now. I mean, I understand why people don't like Donald Trump, and while Joe Biden was voted in, or I'm going to say allegedly voted in. Oh, there you go again. But, it's either way, look at the results. He's supposed to be the adult. He's supposed to be the seasoned politician. He's supposed to be improvement. He was supposed to bring us together. And I don't see any of that happening. I mean, 2 years ago, inflation was supposed to be transitory. Here we are right now. He's talking Biden economics and how great it's working. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? This is just last week. What are you talking about? The Biden economics ain't working.
No, you know? They're not working. When we inflation is supposed to rise up another percentage rate, and we've got the fuel prices. We're sitting at what down here in Florida, we're at $3.60 a gallon, and in California, it's at $7 something a gallon. Ooh,
can you imagine?
Yeah, I don't want to even imagine. And the cost of a renting an apartment is like $25,000 to $100,000 to $3,000 here in Florida a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going
to... For an apartment.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And a new vehicle nowadays is, you know, $40,000 to start.
Upwards, I was about to say upwards of $40,000 for a Corolla.
An average vehicle. Yeah. A pickup truck, $70,000 and up.
Oh, man.
And it's just ridiculous. And you're not getting good quality nowadays with the way they're building these things. You're getting cheap plastic shit.
Well, we're not getting any American crap right now because they're on strike. So I guess we're going to have to go to the Chingwong cars.
I'm not buying nothing. I've got older.
Yeah, I'm not buying anything either.
And I'll just keep fixing them and running them.
Like I told you earlier, I'm interested in that Toyota Venza, but I'm not serious about it. I'm just thinking ahead what could be my next vehicle to replace my car when the time comes up. But right now, nope. I don't want a car payment. I want to keep the insurance rates down.
Anyways, you know. It's not worth giving into their agenda and purchasing a vehicle right now. Purchasing a vehicle now sends an okay to them that we're okay with the way you're operating, and I'm not.
And we're not okay with it. But but yeah, man, I think that's going to get us towards the end of the show. I mean, today's show was very political, and we won't always try to be political, trust me, because Pirate and I do talk about a lot of things. It just feels like, with the exception of the sports, it was a very political week. There was a lot of things going on. You know,
politics is a good subject to talk about when the country is down and out. If we, you know, when you have a country that's in good order and all, I'm sure there's just a lot of stories going on that are not political.
Well, let's make it a point maybe for the next show to mix in a little more non-political news, because I know this week when I was looking and researching, that's what I was focusing on. And part of it, you can say, well, you didn't have to write it down. You didn't have to talk about it. You can ignore it. I felt like these were things I did want to talk about because there was so much happening this week. I'm like, good Lord, man, this is crazy, well, man.
So much stuff happening.
That's what it is. There's just so much
government right now that it's,
just so much stuff happening.
Was averted, of course.
You know, for 45 days. Woohoo! Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's pat ourselves on the back for that. 45 days.
And you know, there's just so much BS going on in the government right now that, you know, that's all we can focus on.
Fire alarm pullers.
And there there is news out there, but, you know, sometimes we have a dry week. But I like, you know, I listen to other shows. I like to listen to other podcasts and other actually syndicated shows that are politic, you know, mainly politics shows. They do talk about everything on them as well, but they do get focused on what's happening of the week. The important subjects get brought in the forefront.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like us at this show, we're going to bring the important subjects that we feel need to be brought into the forefront. And,
I mean, it is our show. We can talk about what we want. All I'm pledging, and maybe, you know, we can talk about this off mic here, but, you know, maybe not always be so political.
Yeah, I'm not scared of talking politics, Chewy, but
it's not scared. I'm just thinking, if let's not be like any other podcast, because
well, we're supposed to be all over the road, but
we're supposed, there you go, that's all I'm saying, we're supposed to be all over
stories from time to time. Well,
and like I said, it was just today's show. I mean, the only thing that wasn't political was sports and happy birthday to my mom. So but yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, the one thing I can say.
Real quick. You got a little more to say.
Yeah,
okay.
One thing I can't say is I know that we're at show number 7's getting wrapped up, and we do appreciate all the loyal listeners out there. And, you know, pass the word on. You know, it might not be the cup of tea for everybody, but like me and Chewy said, we try to bend the show as we move down the road here and bend it to our, you know, whatever stories come our way.
Yeah.
So not every show is the same. But we do want to celebrate when we get the 10th show down our throats here. We are going to do a what we call an open mic show.
Yeah, well, we write down subject matters here that we talk about, so we have some kind of structure. Well, so basically the 10th show is going to be improv. It's truly going to be Pirate and I just talking about whatever comes up. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll have some things written down, but there won't be any pauses. There won't be any transitions. It's going to be a continuous improv show when we make it to show number 10.
And it might not have any structure to it at all, and it'll probably be very all over the road.
Yeah.
It's kind of how we started this show, because when we first started talking and hanging out on my back porch, it sounded like a radio show, and then it evolved into the Chewy Pirate and Chewy All Over the Road.
Yeah, there it is. Yep. Yep. So, but yeah, let's go ahead and we've been saying wrap it up for like 5 minutes now. But remember, our website is akebonaradio.com. You can email us at akebonaradio@gmail.com. We are on X. Just search for at Akebono Radio. We are on Facebook, All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewy. All of that stuff will be in the show notes, but of course you do have to remember the website, akebonaradio.com. So we're going to wrap up with the show of the week. There I am saying wrap up again, but no after show today because we've gone long enough. But this is a song from Chris Stapleton, and this is his song called Cold from 2020. So more recently, but I discovered this guy, and I've known of him, but really never paid attention. But this is more of like a country, not even really country, more of a blues kind of song. Like the first time I heard it the other day, I thought it was a song out of the 70s, but nope, it's a modern day song.
Yeah, he's got that little Americana touch. You got to broaden your horizons there, Chewy. You're going to find some good music with him.
Yeah, yeah. So this is show number 7 with All Over the Road to Pirate and Chewy. We thank you for downloading and listening to the show, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you all. Enjoy. Thought we had it so good, I never really saw.